All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to compete at BFL 76, and that goes on March the 30th. It is a featherweight fight with JT Donaldson and Josh Kwiatkowski getting out there to test skills, and happy to be welcoming Josh back onto the show today. How's everything going, man?
It's going awesome. I just finished a pad session with my striking coach.
Yeah, for sure, and I mean, we're a ways away from the bout as of this recording, but I imagine you're excited just getting ready to, you know, get back out there and compete. Like, what was the, I guess, temperament when the, you know, bout offer came your way? I would think you would be excited.
Yeah, no, I thought I was going to be fighting at the end of January for the Z promotion show, and had a bunch of different names on across the mind, and I thought it was going to work out, and nothing really did, and then I seen that the whole card got canceled. So it was kind of a godsend, but I've been training hard for the last few months just preparing for that, and now we kind of roll into March 30th, so I got 8 weeks more to just be even better prepared and just sharpen my skills.
Yeah, I mean, it's good you're having a positive mindset in lieu of that happening. Like, I mean, you could easily just lean into, like, the fact that it's, like, a bit of a bummer the January, you know, card fell through and everything, but just seems like you immediately redirected your focus to, you know, what a possible next step could be. So yeah, I mean, good to be adaptable and everything like that.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm always training, so it's just like I want to have four to five fights this year, so my goal is just to keep the ball rolling from the last fight I had against Tim, and I wish it was going to start in January. That would have been a nice way to start off the year, but it didn't work like that, so fight gods have different plans, and it starts with JT on March 30th.
Yeah, for sure, and a lot to get into with that fight, but you did mention the last go-around, and I would think that would be a really, you know, good career moment for you. I mean, you got to, you know, turn 29, you got to win a belt on the exact same night, and I mean, Canada's longest running regional MMA show. Like, what was the whole, you know, experience like? I would think that would have been a big one for you.
You're cutting out just a little bit. What was the last bit of that?
Oh, sorry, I was just saying I would have thought that last one would have been a big one for you, just winning a belt on the same night you're turning 29 and against such a tough veteran opponent.
Oh, just a huge moment for me, like snapping that losing streak. That even in that losing streak, I had so many fights that were so close, and I'm just happy that now I've got my my momentum going in the other direction. I'm just going to build off this. Like, anytime you fight someone who has more professional wins than you have professional fights, it's a huge opportunity and a huge step in the right direction, right? Like, I think Tim had 15 or 16 wins. This next fight I have is going to be my 13th fight. So, for me, it was a huge, huge moment, and it just shows people that I'm a lot better than my record shows.
Well, it is kind of interesting, though, because, I mean, even the last time we were talking, like, it seemed like there was some context to be seen even within that, you know, few fights that you got the L's in. Like, not necessarily, like, blowout kind of losses, like, closer performances within there, but it still seems like, even based on how you're wording it there, that getting back in the win column is still, you know, a bit of a relief. Can you kind of talk about that recent run a little bit? Because, like I said, I think with some context, it's like you're not losing these, like, blowout kind of losses necessarily, but it seems like there was still some relief to get back to the win column all the same.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's crazy because I know in the States and some other countries, there's so many people to fight that you could really get a really clean record of, like, 12-0 or 13-0, but you've really fought no one that's a serious competition, and then you get to the UFC and you're fighting all real competition, and then you get sparked out a couple times and you get cut, where I feel like in Canada, like, you just have to fight all the best guys around, and like, you're fighting good competition all the time. And even in my amateur days, I was always fighting good competition, so I feel like I've been forged in the fires a bit, and it's going to just benefit me later in my fight career as I just keep getting better and better, and I didn't let those fights deter me at all. because I know what kind of product that we're creating and what kind of fighter I am. And I know that when you lose a fight in the last dying seconds, or even if you have a fight that you thought you won and the judges didn't see it that way, that it's just a few small changes that are going to make a big difference. And last fight showed that.
Yeah, I mean, this being your fourth fight under the BFL banner, I mean, one of the more, like, premier kind of, like, stages in Canada. I mean, you're certainly, like, getting on those stages to, like, fight the best competition. But something else I thought was cool that I saw a little bit ago in a post, it seems like you were able to get out to Japan and train for a bit with, like, some Ryzen fighters and stuff like that. Can you talk about that whole experience there?
Your phone connection is just a little choppy sometimes.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying that, like, I saw you took a training trip to Japan and were working with some Ryzen fighters and was just curious to get some insights.
Awesome. It was, actually, speaking of the devil, from that Japanese trip I had in Japan, I was training with Ryzen fighters, but I also got the opportunity to train with UFC Road to UFC, the Asian show that they're having right now.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend for the Ultimate Fighter, one of the fighters I trained with, his name, I don't want to even butcher his name, but it's Kazuma. He's fighting a really good wrestler. I don't even know how to say his name either, but they have some very difficult names. But yeah, Kazuma, I trained with him. He's a bantamweight. And he was just a wicked, wicked guy. I trained with a guy, Hirotaka, who fights for Ryzen and a few other fighters. And I got to train underneath their coach, who fought many, many times in WEC. And he's just an old school banger. And that whole Japan trip was just amazing. Got to learn some new cool stuff and just seeing how they trained and how they drill. And it was just beautiful.
Yeah, and I like how you compared it to, like, a past training trip to Brazil, like, in as far as, like, martial arts is, you know, kind of its own language, and even though you can't speak these respective languages when you visit these places, there's a sense of communication going on with the technique, so I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah, it's honestly, like, I learned a little bit of Japanese when I was there, but the biggest thing is when you're seeing, like, the motions and you're seeing how they're talking, you can see just, like, you can feel, like, what they're explaining, and just it's fairly easy to pick up, I find, through martial arts when it's not your first day doing martial arts. And luckily I had my little sister there who was also translating, so it was a really, really beneficial training session. And just got to learn some cool techniques that I've never seen before, and simple things, but very, very beneficial.
And it probably helps too, just, like, you know, accruing all of this additional info, just because I was also seeing you've been coaching martial arts full time and that you've been doing it for a bit over a year now. So I would think that would help with, you know, what you're doing there too. Just, like, as you continue to learn, you're, you know, transferring that knowledge to people who are, you know, underneath you, learning skills, as it were.
Exactly. Like, the balance is always finding enough time to train and enough time to balance your coaching. But I feel like I've just really, really figured it out lately. And just constantly working on my craft, whether it be small details in the gym with some of my students or working on my own skills with my coaches, it's something that even last night, like, it's just all day for me. Like, I was just listening to an MMA podcast before you called last night. I was watching all the fights, from, like, studying for who's fighting this weekend until about 1 a.m, waking up early to go do a pad session. Like, besides a little lunch I'm gonna have with my mom here, I'm going to go coach martial arts for, like, 5-6 hours tonight, and then go to the pool and probably watch some more fights when I get home. So I'm obsessed. It's all I do, and it's all I'm constantly studying, and it's going to show. I'm getting better at making reads in the gym. I'm just, the fact that I'm just all my time is into this, that the hours are just going to continually build up and build up and build up. And I'm just going to show people that consistency and hard work can bring you to any level of fighting.
Yeah, and it seems like you're kind of like, you're looking at it from like multiple angles, multiple roles, and stuff like that. Like, I was seeing you were coaching alongside, you know, Sean Elbrick and also Dennis Kang. Like, that must have been a cool experience and everything like that. Probably like learning like a different kind of facet of the game by being in like a cornering, like coaching kind of role as well.
Yeah, I want to be an amazing fighter, and I want to be an amazing coach one day too. So any opportunity I have to learn from guys that have fought in the UFC and have coached in the UFC and have brought fighters to the highest levels of the sport, anytime I get that opportunity to assist and to help our fighters and teammates perform, it just helps me get even better and more comfortable with this craft.
Yeah, for sure. Love to hear the, you know, dedication and refinement curve and all those good facets and everything. But I mean, you talk about, you know, being around some people who've got that high level experience, like having fought in the UFC. Like, I was seeing your opponent had previously fought in Bellator and also has some localized, you know, BFL experience too. I also saw he previously had fought AJ McKee a few years ago. Like, is this someone you've been kind of like delving into a bit on like a tape study level, or more just focusing on what you're doing to be like adaptable and fluid in the fight?
I feel like anytime, I fight people that have more and more footage. This guy does have quite a bit of footage, just like I have quite a bit of footage now too. So it goes both ways. But I found that because the fight camp is so long, that I say 3-4 weeks ago when I first really really dived into fight camp, I watched a bunch of footage on him, broke it down with my coaches. I studied him, I watched like everything I could, tried to make my reads, and then I just started training really, really hard. And then I noticed about a week ago, me and my striking coach sat down and watched some of his fights, and then me and my jiu-jitsu coach, Sean, we sat down and watched a few of his fights, again made a bunch of reads, and came up with our game plan in which we're going to implement in the fight. And obviously, we also have our plan B and C, right? But from what I see and what I've taken from his fights, I'm very, very confident in being able to show people the best me on the 30th and to finish him. Because at the end of the day, the UFC and these major organizations only care about finishes. And to finish someone like JT puts me in the same caliber as other people that finish them. Like, again, I'm no AJ McKee yet, but at the same time, if I go in there and I starch JT right in the first, it shows people that I'm going in the right direction. And I know when you see people that have beat JT, like that Laird Anderson in Bellator, who's a stud, and AJ being McKee, I don't really take too much against that because those are such high-level good fighters. But at the same time, no one's on a pedestal. I have to go in there and I have to join their company, and I just got to finish JT. Going out there and getting a decision is not going to be good enough for me.
And I think, too, because like one of the last times we were talking, you had specifically indicated future interest in perhaps, you know, fighting for Bellator. So I would think beating someone who's previously fought under that banner would, you know, pay dividends in that kind of regard.
100%. For me, man, I'm 29 years old, but I feel like I'm a late bloomer. I've never felt better athletically, physically, cardio, jiu-jitsu, wrestling. It all sounds cliche, but I never really come out in interviews and say, oh, this is the best I've ever felt. This is that. But I can honestly say, truthfully, this is the best I've ever felt in all aspects of the game. So there's no reason why I wouldn't have my best performance. And like the way I'm training and the way I'm surrounding my life with my goals and my martial arts, is this is my road to the major organization. And whatever major organization that may be, Bellator, KSW, UFC, anyone. I just got to work my ass off, go on a win streak, and show people I belong. Starts with JT.
He also has a pretty great nickname, too. I was noticing Grandma's Boy. That made me laugh when I saw that. I feel like that's pretty solid.
I like it, too, actually. Like, I don't even have to, for me, like, to fight someone, I don't have to hate them at all. Like, I'll punch anyone in the face, you know? So, for me, I like seeing that his nickname is Grandma's Boy. I mean, he's probably a family man, you know? But it doesn't matter. Like, he could be named the Destroyer. I'm going to go in there. I'm gonna spark him out. I'm going to go in there, try to make him quit for the entire fight. And but I do like that he's got that nickname. I'm sure he's a good guy. I wished him a good luck, and I wish him a good camp. I messaged him that. And it's all respect going in there, but once the cage door locks, I barely want to touch gloves. I just want to go in there, take your soul, and leave.
Yeah, totally get the mentality and everything like that. Yeah, I mean, good to be like a little light with it before. I mean, both of you guys are ultimately vying for, you know, the same kind of thing and just wanting to grow in your martial arts journey. So, yeah, it's just a matter of getting out there and competing in a sport almost at the end of the day. Like you were saying, it's like, oh, well, if I got to punch you in the face, I'll punch you in the face. But one of the last things I kind of wanted to touch on with you, just because I know you've had a level of interest in this before. I was talking to BKFC figurehead Dave Feldman the other day, and I was kind of talking about like where BKFC might do a show in Canada, and I was saying, oh, I think probably Alberta, knowing how I know like the, you know, commissions and stuff like that. He kind of had like a big smile on his face, and then when he was given his answer, he even went as far as to say Canada could, you know, become the number two market for BKFC later on this year. Like, what are your thoughts on all of that as I'm kind of relaying that to you?
I've been so close to having bare knuckle fights multiple times now. Before COVID, I was the closest. After COVID, I've had some offers and from different promotions, but again, I don't want to fight for different promotions other than BKFC because why would you want to go to anywhere else other than like the show, you know? So for me, I just got these dumb big fists with these dumb big knuckles, and I would love to hit someone bare knuckle. And I know my mom and my dad don't want me to do it, but I'm a banger. I'm gonna have some bare knuckle fights before it's all said and done. I hope MMA is the route I can make a name for myself, so I don't have to grind up the low ranks of BKFC. But who knows? Really, if they come to Canada and they offer me a good person or just a good fight, then hell yeah, I want to put my juggernaut shorts on and go in there and knuckle somebody out. But again, I just don't want to get my hopes up and get to just. What it could have, should have, things, right? If it comes, it comes. I'm a martial artist. I'm a fighter, and I don't think many people want to do bare knuckle, but that is something I want to do. I definitely, by the time my career is done, I will have had like a handful of bare knuckle fights. Something just so raw and violent about it. Really, like I love that you can. High clinch. I love that you can, or like half tie clinch. I love that you can you have to control your shots. You have to be accurate. You have to cause damage. And those fights are just sporadic fits of violence. And it's just, it excites me thinking about it. But with that all being said, we'll see if they come to town. We'll see what happens. And we'll see if my name gets called.
I guess I'm curious as to some of these other promotions that might have kind of put offers your way for bare knuckle. Because, like, I know there's, like, BKB out there in the UK and, like, you know, BYB Extreme is, like, you know, finding, like, a bit of more of a foothold in, like, the US kind of scene and stuff like that. Like, what were some of the promotions that were kind of putting those bare knuckle offers out to you?
So before COVID, it was, I was in talks with the BYB, I believe, in UK. We were talking about a show they're having in Manchester pre-COVID, and talking, and then COVID kind of started happening. I had a fight with David Moon lined up, and we're still in talks with them, and we're going to do the fight, and then possibly see if we can make the bare knuckle fight work. And then all the fights got canceled, and that kind of dropped. And then after COVID, we were in talks with, I believe it's like BKFC's, like, not sister company, but it's called Toe the Line, kind of like a offshoot of them. I was in talks with them, and versus another kid. I think it was another Josh as well. And last minute, they needed a replacement, and I was in talks with them too. And it just didn't work out. They picked someone closer. So again, I have been in talks. I've talked to them. I've talked to matchmakers. I've sent in profiles. I've done all of that. So I'm not going to put too much time and effort into it. If it works out, I really hope it does. But regardless, I have JT Donaldson. I got to rearrange on the 30th and go from there. I just want to keep fighting people and keep beating them. But bare knuckle, we'll see if they come to Canada in 2023 here or early 2024.
Yeah, just kind of a fun thing to... you know, think about down the line. You've got this big fight lined up for BFL 76, and also sounds like you want to be pretty active within MMA this year, so a lot more immediate, you know, tangible things to look forward to. And it's been great getting to, you know, have you on the show and to get some insights ahead of this next fight here, but I do want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule as well, Josh. So is there maybe any, like, parting final thought you'd want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Basically, I just want to say thank you to you always, man, because, like, anyone that gives the fighters a voice is they're just all, I'm always in debt to you guys because I love this sport so much. It's all I do. It's all I watch. It's all I try to make people's lives better through martial arts. And I know it's changed my life. I don't know where I would be or what I would even be without fighting. I probably wouldn't be in a good place. But I know that every bone in my body tells me that I'm supposed to be doing this. I just know it. I feel it every day. I go in the gym, hard days, easy days. I love it. And yeah, there's no fear in love. So on the 30th, I got to show people how much I love this sport and get back to my finished ways, knocking JT out. And I'm going to make 2023 my biggest year yet. It's going to be my best year for fighting. And people are really going to see a refined new me. And I'm excited to unleash this new juggernaut on Canada and hopefully soon the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, very exciting thought for this broader campaign over the year. And yeah, anyone in the immediate Vancouver, BC area certainly should check that out live. But if they're not in the immediate area, BFL 76 also broadcasts on UFC Fight Pass. So another methodology to peep what's going on. And yeah, this should be a really great fight. So again, to reiterate, thanks for coming on and giving me some insights ahead of this one, man. You have a good rest of your day and looking forward to peeping the fight when it goes down too.
Thank you so much, man. Enjoy the show, and I don't know where I'm gonna be in the card, but every time I fight, it's one of the best fights of the night, so please tune in and enjoy the show.
Yeah, anyone that's seen your previous fights knows you have quite the track record for barn burner. So, yeah, very much looking forward to it. And, yeah, you have a good day, man.
Okay, thank you, brother. God bless.